I know Jamal came down to talk to you about Brian O'Neill. Very excited when we're able to get guys of this athletic ability and this size. I know I talked to Tony Sperano this afternoon. We went through a bunch of scenarios on offensive line and what can potentially be there at the bottom of the second. As you've seen, there was a pretty good run on offensive linemen early. But we felt very fortunate that Brian was there. He has tremendous athletic ability that you can't teach. You watch his tape, watch him get to the second level, watch him pull all the physical and athletic traits we look for in the scheme that we run. And I know if I can get coaches this type of athlete, they can develop these guys. And we think this kid has a tremendous upside and can't wait till we can get him in here this weekend. As far as the third pick, we ended up trading. There was, I just feel with the way our board looked and getting that second overall pick in the fourth round, we can still get the same player we would have probably have taken at the bottom of the third. We got another sixth-round pick. I think we have seven going into tomorrow. Also, when you're that high in the fourth round, you have the opportunity to take the best players left for that day, or you could potentially move back and even pick up more potential draft picks. So we met a little bit on the potential guys. We have two names up there that we'd be happy with either one, or we could potentially move down again and accumulate more picks, but we'll see how it goes tomorrow. So I'll go ahead and open it up for questions.
Rick, does having the second pick tomorrow, is that beneficial, maybe giving you extra time if there's a guy who dropped for a reason? You could do research, maybe talk about
We don't need to do research. Our research is done. Our film.
Talk to Dalvin at length the second day.
Right, yeah. No, but that was all day. We're coming in tomorrow. And that was just to reaffirm what we already knew with Dalvin last year. But we're pretty much prepared to pick a guy tomorrow or see if a potential trade comes up that's too good to pass up and potentially move down. So I don't know what'll happen, but we'll react once we get on the clock. I'm sure that we'll field a lot of calls tomorrow morning.
Jamal noted the athleticism for Brian, but also saying about how much work there still is to do. Right now, where do you see him, when he comes in here possibly fitting in, and how does that affect where Mike
Well, we said the same thing about, like, when we took Danielle Hunter, that he had a lot of work to do. All these guys come in, the coaches get their hands on him, and each guy, you look at how quickly he's developing. I think with this kid's athleticism, I saw on the TV, Flip was talking about putting some jet sweeps in for him from the tackle position. Just kidding. Throwing tackle screen passes. But no, I think until we get the kids in here, we know where the ceiling is. And I've always been a big believer on taking athletes that have such a huge ceiling and having such faith in what these coaches do when we bring in these type of athletes, and we've had a lot of success doing it that way. So I think his progress we'll know once he gets in here and once our coaches get their hands on him and how quickly he's going to be ready.
Was there any potential trade-up opportunities in the third round or any phone calls you received?
We had a lot of people trying to trade up to get our pick. There was maybe one or two guys that we would have probably stayed in the third round. But they were taken. So, at that time, looking at the board, I knew there were plenty of options to trade back, to get an extra pick, and to still get the player that we would have taken tonight.
As a first rounder, even before you guys were up with O'Neill, what was Tony like in the draft room just as all these offensive linemen are going off the board?
I didn't sit with Tony. Those guys kind of sit in our offices. We do a lot of talking. In fact, I'll go down and talk to them as we were getting close to that pick. I went down and talked through with Tony and with Flip a couple times. But for the most part, we've done so many meetings, so much film study together that I think everybody kind of knows the direction, and I just go and usually just reaffirm, you know, if we still feel as strongly. And but that's, you know, there's not much talk or discussion on it at all. But I know, you know, sitting there watching them peel off there in the top of the second round, they were flying off the board quicker than any time I can remember.
Is because there's been so much talk about college offensive linemen needing so much time to get used to the NFL, and here you have all of them going so early.
I think it was one of the strongest classes this year at that position, at center guard area. And so I think, you know, as you sit there and look across the board, those guys were rated very highly on our board as well. And I think, you know, if you got a need, you can't have enough offensive linemen, and those guys are all very talented football players, I think, can come in and contribute.
You touched upon Mike Remmers' versatility a few days ago. The fact you took a tackle instead of a guard, does this make it perhaps more likely that he might be the right guard?
I think right now all we're worried about is getting all the players in. Let's get the 90-man roster together, and then I know the coaches will start assessing these guys once we get them in here at the rookie mini camp next week, and then we'll get into our OTAs, and then as we progress through that, then the coaches start formulating game plan on who and what and where and why.
Is it fair to say that he's got to put on quite a bit of weight and get a little bit stronger?
I think he's going to add strength. I think that's just part of maturing. I think his weight is fine. He may add, you know, I talked to our strength coach, Mark Uyama. I talked to all, he looked at about 60 or 70 guys at the combine, looked at their body types, looked how they moved. And that was one of the guys that I had a discussion with him the other day on, and feels he can definitely, you know, add some weight as well. But we're excited to see what he can do once he gets in here.
Among the remaining, at the one you were picking, the remaining guys on the board on the offensive line, do you think he had the best athleticism?
We thought he was one of the top athletes in the draft at the offensive tackle position.
This year seems like a particularly good year for athletic offensive linemen. How do you distinguish between a lot of those athletes, especially when a lot of them could be raw?
I think just watching the tape, you know, you see the athletic numbers when you go to the combine and a guy runs this or runs that, but I think you always have to go back to the tape. You have to see the movement skills. And, you know, we have the analytics and we have all the numbers and do this and that, but you truly got to trust your eyes. And like I said, when we're looking, regardless if it's offensive lineman or any position, we're looking, is it tailored to what we're going to ask them to do here, either on the offense or defensive scheme? And some of the guys, like I've stated earlier, are going to be very good football players, but they wouldn't be as good with what they're going to be required to do in our scheme. And if we adjusted our scheme, or we ran a different scheme, I should say, then maybe they would have more value for us.
Would you say then that some of the ways that you evaluate the athletic workouts and the thresholds are impacted by the specific scheme?
I would say that the athletic numbers, you know, Coach Zim talked a little bit about, he thinks the short shuttle there. But I think everything's tied into it, the psychological, the intelligence scores, what are those test numbers, and what players have had the most success in the league. And, you know, our analytics people could come up and say this player is similar to these three players, not only from an athletic ability standpoint, but from an intelligence standpoint, from a psychological standpoint. So, like I said, we're trying, and I think each year we've evolved, and especially with this coaching staff and now that we've been together, that we really are honed in on the specific traits that we want. And like I said, guys that are there that fit those traits that may take a time to develop, or they can come in and impact right away, but they're tailored to what we're looking for.
As someone with a history of moving up and down on draft weekend, what's it been like sitting and waiting for your pick?
It was agonizing a little bit, you know, just to sit there and wait. But like I told Coach Zim, I'd sit there and wait all day long if we can end up 32, 31, 30 every year, because I still think we've got some very good football players that end up falling our way. Now, like I said, at getting the second overall pick in the fourth round, we have an opportunity to pretty much, you know, control that third day with the ability to either take the best player available or move down some and continue to add picks, because I think there's still a lot of value out there in the third day. I also think, at least my philosophy has been, the more players you can bring in here, the more swings you can take, the better odds you have of hitting on guys.
Time for two more. Rick, do you ever break those traits for production, or how often? You're talking about traits. I'm assuming your measurables, you know, the height, weight, speed.
Traits I'm talking about are things that we actually see on tape. That's what it's going to come down to. You know, like the transition quickness when we talked about the corner. The athletic ability, the ability to pull, to move in space, to work laterally, because we're not a power go straight ahead team anymore. We're doing a lot of mid and zone schemes, so those guys have to be a little bit more athletic to be successful. So the traits are being verified by those other tests, but the traits are being determined by what we're seeing on tape.
How much influence does DeFilippo have with the offensive line picks, knowing that Sprawn has been here for a while?
Everybody has an opportunity. Everybody gets an opportunity to speak. You know, in our meetings, I have our coordinators, our head coach, our assistant position coaches, and our assistants to the assistant position coaches, and the quality control guys all get positions to analyze. So, and then you layer on the four or five reports we have from the scouts and, you know, my, you know, lieutenants, and then plus myself. We've got a pretty good wide variety of opinions, and we're able to come up with a consensus.
When they started to have that run of offensive linemen early in the second round, did you guys look much to try to move up in the second round?
Well, you know, the one thing I didn't want to do is I didn't want to tap into any picks next year. Because, and the other thing, moving up there, you know, you're talking about a fourth rounder, which we don't have, at least we didn't have at the time. So you got to be careful on moving up to go get one of those guys, but is it going to cost you more opportunities to pick up players? And feel all those guys were very good players, but also felt that there was an opportunity, someone had to come down to us. Like I said, we were very excited that Brian fell to us, because after that, there was a lot more offensive linemen that started to go. And I knew if we didn't take him there, there was no chance we were going to get an offensive lineman, by the time we were picking at the bottom of the third. All right. See you tomorrow.